All right, Doug Sims live right here in the studio in Grander Studios, hanging out with the whole crew.
Turn up.
What's going down, y'all?
Hey, how you doing?
Who we got over here?
We got Rachel, one half of the Bestie Brand, aka Rach with the Y on socials. And I'm out here. Happy to be here. It's a rainy day, but you know what? I'm recovering today.
And you got Jane Jones, your local realtor.
Ooh.
Hey.
That's smooth. You're a local realtor. I like that. I don't got nothing like that, though. But you already know it's Melly Mel, Mr. Unapologetic, if y'all know Unapologetic Podcast. But me and Metro in the building, you know it.
Yeah, I'm just here. I'm just here, you know.
You're
I'm
hosting just, us.
You're
thank
here
you.
For the laughs and giggles.
He always move with it, though.
You're here for the kikis.
I'm just doing my thing, whatever that is.
And trying to bring some great content and some great music
going
along.
Huh?
I'm working on some things.
Yeah.
I'm working on some things. So, and as a matter of fact,
what you got?
Had a little conversation, just a little small piece of conversation with my man Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Okay.
Last week.
See, yo.
Well, this week earlier, you know. Yeah. So,
so
it was cool. So he was down in North Carolina doing a show.
Okay.
And hanging out with my producer. I actually have a producer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a producer. My man B Brown.
Shout out to him.
Down in North Carolina, and so they had a gig down there where he performed two shows. Malcolm Jamal Warner performed two shows, my guy, they about to go on the road and do some more shows.
Nice.
So it's a tour.
They're creating a tour.
Yeah. I'm speaking in existence. It's a tour.
Yeah. So they're creating a tour, and you know, it may not come this way just yet, but I'm sure to get around. So, everybody got
to
have a producer, right?
Mm-hmm. You got to.
You have to have a producer because I can't do everything myself, and you guys can't do everything yourself. So you have to depend on other people at times, right?
Man, I have more gray hair than I can count.
Yeah. So my man,
no pun intended.
So my producer and I, we've been knowing each other for quite a while, and we actually do a lot of jazz events or whatever. The last one we did was in Indianapolis.
Okay.
We went to the Indie Jazz Fest, and
we got to
hang out with folk.
That was dope. I bet that was dope.
Yeah, so, you know, we missed last year. We didn't go last year, but...
now you got to catch up.
Right.
Yeah, we got to catch up. We have to catch up. I'm trying to catch... Robert Glasper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch him. I caught him in Lansing. Bam. Mm. I caught him in Lansing.
Sing City. Represent
517.
A few years back, and I'm trying to catch him again.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of that, I went to Lansing to see Snoop Dogg, right?
Yeah.
So I took my son to go see Snoop Dogg. He might have been 10.
Oh, okay.
And we went to Lansing.
I thought you were talking about recently.
Right. No,
was
Snoop Dogg.
Well,
Snoop Dogg was in GR last year.
Yeah, he was.
He was in GR last year.
Yeah.
And so a quick story. First time I covered Snoop Dogg, he was actually in Grand Rapids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're waiting in the Van Andel, blah, blah, blah. Three photographers trying to get on stage. He said, "Brother man, come on, let's go."
Yes.
I was the lone photographer by myself.
Really?
I had the whole gamut running.
Nice.
Everything.
That was dope, man. Mm-hmm. Ooh, you got to show me that footage.
But you know, and then my boy was the lone journalist.
Hey.
Oh.
Up in that joint, right?
Yes.
But the crazy part is we've been working together for 20 plus years. So how did we get that gig together?
Wow.
Who knows?
Divine timing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just to be in that circle, man. That's people don't understand that.
Well, next time you need security, call me.
She'll bring me.
Right.
Her 6-foot counterpart.
There it is. All right. Doug Sims Live. Let's go ahead and get into some music. We'll be right back with some awesome topics.
We're back, everybody. Melly Mel with some great news, man. Some big news. TikTok is really the biggest hot topic now. What y'all say?
Yes.
I
love TikTok.
Man, everybody loves TikTok. But but I don't think everybody gonna love it like my man Jeff Yass, the billionaire donor with investments in TikTok parent company. Critics accuse Yass of bankrolling an army of lobbyists and orchestrating a bare-knuckle pressure campaign to protect TikTok, including by the leveraging his nascent relationship with the former president Donald Trump.
Interesting.
Yeah. But this gets better. In the pitch battle between TikTok and Washington, few people stand to lose more than Jeff Yaz, an American billionaire option trader who has emerged in recent years as a major donor in the Republican candidates around and causes. So Yaz co-founded the Philadelphia-based trade firm, and so the international group, he owns 15% of that stake. And that's in TikTok China. So based on that parent company ByteDance, Yaz's personal share is 7% and is worth roughly $21 billion.
Oh my goodness, for only 7%?
7% is 21. That's why I wanted to put that out there.
Though? Like, so you're putting the total amount out there.
21 billion. 7%. Of course. I mean,
he doesn't want us to ban TikTok.
No.
So he doesn't want the Senate to go ahead and pass this bill right now.
Right. No.
Because the House has already passed it.
The House has passed it. Right. Now it's in the Senate's hands.
So how do y'all feel about that?
I just want to know what's the reason. Like, why is this even on the table?
Right.
Of banning TikTok.
Media is powerful.
It is powerful.
It runs the world. So if I can control one of the largest social media platforms on the planet, yeah.
Well, wasn't the initial reasoning for the court debate was for the information leakage?
Yep.
Yes,
yep.
That's what the part but they say the out biggest. Loud, but what they don't say is probably
but right.
because of how well the information circulates.
I'm gonna go to the bone, but the initial response is about the identity theft that somebody can just steal your identity. So you got to get all the information back, social security number, all that. So it's a hassle. Yes.
So is you mean, Timu and Shein.
Right.
Those are all Asian owned. Let's be clear.
I purposefully subscribed there.
Okay, but exactly. So it's like they already have my information because I already bought something from Shein and I already bought something from Timu.
And isn't our stuff already floating around through Meta anyway? So
yeah, because every time I mention anything.
Hey, this is TikTok we're talking about. So
owned by Meta, the one free. Yeah. Agent there. Yeah. That's what it seems
and
like.
That's what they're scared of, right?
On.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right.
So they're not controlling everything and they want to control it. If they can't control it, they want to shut it down.
They
want to
shut it down.
Or have them sell it or divest. Yeah.
Yep.
You see? They're on point.
Right. So, you know, along with the information stealing or whatever the case is, I know a lot of people do not like to shop with their credit cards at superstores, Walmart, Costco, so forth and so on. But your stuff is already out there no matter where you go. They won't even go to Amazon.
It is.
You know, but it's already out there. If you have a card, it's out there.
Yeah.
Not even that. If you have a phone, they know where you are. I know her location all the time. Rachel is being stalked by her bestie all the time.
But she keeps it on the DL just like a good best friend is supposed to.
That cover has been blown. But for TikTok, I think it really is going to affect because kids use it. Businesses use it. You know, it's everywhere. It's nowhere TikTok is not known. You know, my great grandmother knows about TikTok.
Right. But you know, how many people make money off of TikTok?
Oh, God.
Money.
Countless.
Information.
So we're talking about TikTok.
Yeah.
And you're talking about how many people make money off TikTok. I'm sure that you were explaining this to us off air.
Yes.
This person. Can you give me a rundown about this person that's super viral right about now?
Speaking of TikTok and people going viral and making money, our girl Risa Tisa had a 50-part series called Who the F Did I Marry? And she talks about marrying a pathological liar in 10 minutes and 50 parts. So how many is that?
Ooh,
500 minutes?
Wow.
And you invested all the time and watched it all
Don't
for us, right?
Judge me.
You invested 500 minutes of your time?
I did.
That's
I
a
did.
Good series.
She is a storyteller. I mean, she was long-winded on some parts. Like, I'm like, she could have cut out probably 20 of these. But I still was invested.
Wait a minute.
And the comments I live for. I live for the comments, too. So it's great.
Is it a good series?
I thought it was a good series. It could have been done in probably 25, but it was still good.
Okay. So the series was so good that a major...
HBO.
HBO. Yeah. Okay. So HBO
is talking to her.
In talks. Okay.
Mm-hmm. In talks. And then she also made money off of those those TikToks because I think she has over 7-8 million views
just off
each one.
Each one?
I'm
each
sorry.
Each one.
Each wow. one times 50.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
Yeah. So if you go to that series,
how
you'll
can you
see
count
it.
That?
Yeah.
Is that over a billion?
She is currently up to 3.7 million followers on TikTok as of right now.
3.7 million followers.
And just in a few days?
And this was like, I think it started in February when she started posting about it.
Okay.
And then everyone caught wind.
Right.
And we were just like, we instantly were like,
that's
what is
crazy.
This all about? But what do you mean?
This
what
has been groundbreaking watching? For that, for TikTok. But then you get to see how the culture spreads, everybody talking about it, everybody catching on and just wanting to see. And I think that's what these big companies want to capitalize on. They see how
Absolutely.
Fast things spread. They see how efficient TikTok is and how it covers all generations.
It does.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
Wholeheartedly.
So I don't have a TikTok account. Right.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
exactly. Right.
We go hook you up, Doug. Right.
Wow. You can learn a couple dances with us.
Yeah. We about to bust out the moves.
So I don't have an account, but let me ask this. On that particular series, is it just her or does she bring her husband into it? Or
no, absolutely
or is it
not.
Just,
she will fight her husband.
Okay.
I think she has a restraining order.
No, so
I
it was
him.
It's just
really?
Basically like yeah. a wow. solo it's, recording of okay, her telling yeah. the story.
Telling the story.
There was no precedent of this kind of style. She wasn't following a trend. She was really just doing a confessional that was 50
yeah,
parts.
About her real life of going through this and her husband, how he lied about just like the littlest thing. He was like, oh, I was an arena football player. She was like, I don't even know what that is. But he said he had money. He had money in an offshore account. He even had showed me his bank accounts, which she later says that they were screenshots from Google of Chase bank account and then an offshore account.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So it's crazy. Wow. So her husband's name is Legion.
Okay.
Legion. So basically at the end of it, he was lying about everything.
Okay.
And he still continues to
is
lie.
His name Legion?
Legion. His name is
no,
yeah, no,
if he lies
no, I don't know what his name right. I think that's his real name.
Is that verified?
He basically has now created his trying to create his own narrative and saying that he's not a pathological liar and what have you. Mm. But
oh.
Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of I can't remember his name, but the guy that was an influencer, if you will, telling ladies don't take this from a man, so forth and so on, then he goes around and cheats on his girl, right?
Oh yeah, that one guy.
Jackson.
Yes, that guy. Yes. Just a pathological liar. But he basically took on the life of his twin brother.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. So his twin brother was a CEO of a company and he drives like a fancy foreign car and he does have a house in Georgia.
Jealous.
And so he just took on his brother's life and sold that to her.
Oh, for what benefit?
I don't know.
Her love?
No, I don't even know that he really loved her.
Oh.
I'm sorry to say. I feel for her. But yeah, that's the power of TikTok. We all watched it. We all talked about it. Yep, it was great.
All right, so did you guys hear about Don Lemon, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Tell us
yeah,
more.
So, you know, just last week or so, he reportedly received $24.5 million from his previous employer, CNN, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
NBC, CNN?
CNN,
right?
Yeah.
So they got rid of him. They parted ways, but they paid him for the duration of his 3 years that he had left on his contract.
Okay.
Right? So now, believe it or not, Don Lemon says Elon Musk canceled his deal with X after a tense interview. So, of course, he wanted to have Elon Musk as his first guest.
Mm-hmm. Right. Of course.
Since he's going to be...
That's his platform.
Since his, yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's going to be on the platform, right?
Big.
So Don Lemon said that his partnership with Elon Musk went down in flames, or rather up in flames.
That was perfect.
Hours after the former CNN anchor conducted an interview last week with the erratic billionaire for the debut episode of his new independent web-based show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think a lot of people are going web-based, but can you imagine the person you're about to work with.
Right.
You give an interview. He couldn't take it. He's shaking in his boots, if you will. Mm-hmm. And he canceled the entire show.
Project. Everything.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. Petty.
Yeah. He knew it seemed like he planned that or something.
Just because the interview was a little tense.
Right. I mean, but you want that. You want some type of information, something that's going to make me sit and be engaged. Mm-hmm.
Or get you out of your comfort zone. I think a good interviewer can get you
uncomfortable.
And that's what Don Lemon does. You think about it, those high profile interviewers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
come in. Yeah, they push all the buttons.
For you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gail King, Robert.
Robert.
Coming.
Sweating. Yeah, they is. He hit it on the head, man.
Mine's telling me no.
So they're going to ask the hard questions.
Yeah.
They're going to make you uncomfortable. Barbara Walters asks uncomfortable questions.
Correct.
You know?
She had to cut some. No.
She has questions that makes me uncomfortable watching this. Like, girl, you're
not even the one being interviewed.
Right.
Like,
I'm sweating.
Let me go put some.
But you know,
Elon
Musk is a different kind of guy.
Right.
He's
high profile too.
He's different.
Like,
though.
You know, you're gonna get asked
but
a lot of hard questions.
Elon is like a bag of Skittles, man. You don't know what you're gonna get.
He probably tasted the rainbow anyway, but he's just a different kind of guy.
Yeah, you know, he intelligent and crazy.
At the same time, right? Mm-hmm. At the same time. But hey, you know, I'm sure that someone else will pick up Don Lemon.
Of course.
The guy he's too popular.
Yeah.
He's too professional. He knows his craft. You know, I'm sure he might be on NBC today.
I was just about to say that. NBC.
And now there's a buzz.
So we're talking about Don Lemon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure out where he may go next.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know.
He should just go to TikTok and make a series.
Well, he might have finite time on TikTok right now.
Right, but Don, I think he should make his own table.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like you got the fan base, you got the looks. Everybody likes how you dress. You got the, like you said, the all the formalities. So why don't you just create your own table?
So you know, speaking of creating your own table, so when these high profile people get into trouble with their network or what have you. Mm. I'm just going to take Nick Cannon for example, right?
Yep.
Great example.
So when he got in trouble and they were trying to pull Wildin' out from
Wildin'
him.
Out, yep.
This guy, you have so much money mm-hmm. that you could have started your own show. You work for Power 105, I believe, yep. You know, radio station. You could have started your own anything. I think that people get too comfortable. Mm-hmm. With these major corporations. Okay, they're paying you crazy dollars.
Yep.
Right. But if you have the skill, the followers are going to follow you.
That's
they
true.
Are.
They're not going to the platform.
Right.
They're going for the talent. Right.
Right.
Exactly. So, and a lot of people, they always want to run back to the corporation mm-hmm. instead of starting their own.
That's
I don't get it. You know, let's take Jada Pinkett, right? Mm-hmm. She went on Facebook and did whatever. Facebook, Red Table Talk.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was something.
But she could, now that was her own thought process, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But is it still going on?
No.
No.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
But so, I know they made a killing.
But they did. Mm-hmm. I'm right.
Oh my God.
But you can make your own killing.
Mm-hmm.
As you say, build your own table. You have the talent, the skill, the resources.
Yeah.
Why not do it? I mean, if you want to go to the corporation, that's fine.
Yeah,
learn
yeah,
what you
money.
Can learn
yeah, yeah,
from the corporations. But if they kick you out, I'm not crawling back to you.
That's true.
I'm going to create my own way.
I got a question, though.
Uh-oh.
Do you think that people or celebrities are afraid of the cancel culture that's going around, that they're afraid to step out on their own?
You know what? And most likely they are. I think a lot of them are for real because, you know, they're already in a high pressure position
right. mm-hmm.
of being judged by everybody for every little thing. Mm-hmm. Right. But I think if you're strong willed enough and you can get rid of the noise.
Yep.
Because we, as they say, we're all human. We all make mistakes, so forth and so on. But as the old saying goes, it's how you get up. It's how you rebound from
mm-hmm.
it.
But nowadays, once you make a mistake, you pay for it forever.
Forever.
When it's public.
Yeah.
And it's out there.
Right. And then especially going up against these big corporations who essentially can use their power to bring you down, it might not be worth it. And that's probably why people just don't.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me. But I did see a headline. I didn't read the article that Jonathan Majors may have another opportunity for he may have another opportunity to be in somebody's film.
Good.
Which is good. That's what's up. And personally, this is just my thought personally. I don't think he should have got drugged through the city like he did. Because I don't really think that he put his hands on that woman to hurt her. From what I saw, not from that whole city sprint we watched.
Yeah, I was going to say, is his next movie a runner? Is he going to be a track star? But they chopped him off.
He lost the Army commercial. He lost the Marvel movie. He lost whatever. You know, based on the end result.
Hey, hey, everyone. It's your girl, Rachel Parker, a.k.a. Rach with the Y, and you are listening to Doug Sims Live. All right, and we're back. So we were talking about a lot of entertainment things. Recently, there was the movie Mea Culpa that came out on Netflix, starring Kelly Calendria Rowland of Destiny's Child.
Her whole name.
We're gonna put some respect on that.
Put some respect on it.
And her co-star Trevante Rhodes, who most recently was known for the Mike movie in 2022.
Yeah. Mike.
I've been seeing a lot of reviews tearing this movie apart. And while it is a Tyler Perry film that I feel that it was done in a better way.
Okay.
There's a lot of plot holes. There's just a lot of things that didn't have a good flow overall, in my opinion, from what I watched. But the look of it was fabulous. And all but one of the wigs were great.
Wow.
Okay.
Black women were shining on the wigs.
Okay. All right. They can reflect the sun. Huh?
Hey, it was good. Nothing looked like them braids back in the day we talked about from Shamar Moore.
We love you, Shamar Moore.
But the movie is about a lawyer. It actually takes place in Chicago. Shout out Chi-Town. I remember actually some background work that was available for that. Couldn't make it. But so she's an attorney, married, and is taking on a case for a guy who is accused of killing his girlfriend. Ooh. So it's a high profile case. He's a big celebrity. He's an artist.
Okay.
And you get into the storylines with her and her husband. Her husband is formerly an anesthesiologist, and formerly because he ended up turning into a drug addict on the job.
Off his own medicine.
Right.
Exactly.
You can't get high off your own supplies, guys. Yes. You can't do it.
The quintessential term, yes. And he has a brother who is the district attorney who also was trying to take on the case for the murder case.
Right.
And then Mia is brought on as a defense attorney for him. So there's this family dynamic dealing with the mother-in-law, where she is just blatantly disrespectful.
Of course.
Which, that's fine. Rightfully so. She's the one that had the worst wig.
So they gave her the worst wig because she had the worst attitude?
But it could be a play on because she's supposed to have cancer.
But that still doesn't give the excuse.
She's very, very rude to Mia. And some of that is part of the catalyst of why she decides to take on this case. So then she meets with the character Zaire, who is Trevante Rhodes, who's the artist, and ends up falling into his love spell, unfortunately.
It gets crazy after that, don't it?
It gets crazy. So the movie is set up. You're watching it. You see things unfold. You have questions. And then there's just like
a boom.
A finale. Like fireworks. Like 4th of July when they just do everything all at once. Yes, that's exactly what happens.
Okay. Okay. Mea Culpa, you know, I'm a little twisted over it.
So what we're talking about is the Mea Culpa movie starring Kelly Rowland. And it is a Tyler Perry movie.
So I'm just going to get into it.
Is it predictable?
I don't like his movies.
Ooh. Why don't you like them? Let's stand on business.
I'm taking a sip of water, y'all.
About to get hot?
I'll tell you when it started. It started with House of Pain, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's where it started.
House of Pain, really?
Yes, House of Pain. I didn't care for his movies because they were kind of like hazed over.
Yep.
Okay.
They were not clear. You know, they had like a haze over the film.
Of course, cinematography.
Like, okay. What in the world is this?
Mm-hmm. You didn't like none of the Madea series?
No, I'm not a Madea fan.
Oh.
Not
in
at
the
all.
Plays?
Like, no, okay. No.
You said
nope. No, I'm not a... No, I ain't a fan like that. You know what I mean? So
I mean, to each his own. That's what he said.
So, I mean, he can be funny.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The reason I don't like him, one,
right,
the glaze over the early movies, right? So that kind of turned me off.
Okay.
So I didn't care for some of the storylines because they all ended up being the same in almost every movie.
I do agree with that.
Every play. They're almost the same.
Yeah.
Now, I did watch Acrimony.
Ugh. Now, oh, wow. We have another opinion in the house.
Wow.
Now, I was not a fan.
That was a strong
one. Yeah, I wasn't a fan. I was like, why did I just watch this? What is it? I don't know. Nope.
So,
it wasn't my thing.
That's about the only one. Well, I tell you, I did watch Why Did I Get Married.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pick Acrimony over that.
Ooh.
Over those.
Really?
Yes, I will.
I'll
pick those over those.
Wow. You're the first one ever said
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
that.
Right. Yeah, why did I get married?
Nope,
yeah.
I like the why did I get married.
And another reason, I mean, the guy is talented.
Yes.
But he's a dictator, right?
Of course.
He controls
everything.
Everything. He writes everything.
Mm-hmm. So it's not a different mind.
So the opinions are going to be the same. All the way through.
There was a lot of talk about how there were a lot of missing elements just to being a lawyer in the film for this. But I don't know. There's to a degree an amount of entertainment in all of his films.
But what do you feel about like the whole, you know, movie, you know, as a whole, like really deep down, would you recommend it?
No.
See how
many tomatoes does it get?
If you're bored and you want something to watch, okay, I will defend him. The cinematography is great. The colors,
okay,
very clear. It looks great.
So the come up is real.
The
then.
Come
so
up he, is real.
Right, okay. Tyler Perry credit where it's due is doing that. Well,
and especially because maybe it's because Netflix is involved with that. But it definitely looks better. But you're right about the writing. Some of it is just kind of okay. Yep, you needed somebody to proofread
Kelly
that.
Kelly Rowland was in there, you know?
Right.
So we're talking about Tyler Perry, and Mel said the only reason he may have watched the movie, or did you watch it yet?
I watched some a little bit.
Is because of Kelly Rowland,
of course.
So tell me about that experience. I mean, is she the only reason you watched the movie, or
I mean.
That's a yes. So
that's a definite. That is a definite.
And
Kelly
was looking good, but I think that's also what they rested on with this movie is
her.
And their promo for it. Because we saw her all over. There was the little mini scandal about her in Good Morning America, was it?
Oh, yeah.
So
that was like a good 20-minute like interview, like which how long? I don't think she was on there for that long either.
No, she didn't end up going on Good Morning America.
Right.
It was a dressing room issue, right?
Right. Yeah, allegedly. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
And then they invited her back with some weird apology.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what's going down with the movies tonight, or this weekend, or this week. Talking about Tyler Perry movies.
Yep. Oh yeah, Tyler Perry.
Does he have anything else scheduled to?
I don't really follow him like that. Just to be honest, Tyler Perry is not like
our actress. What you know?
I don't think there's anything else going on. I feel like they're still trying to give as much push for this movie because I'm sure that the budget was not small on it. And,
of course.
I mean, we saw with the press circuit that they're all over promoting it. Mm-hmm. I think they're just waiting for the last of the coattails. But you know, Tyler Perry writes consistently. If anybody saw his documentary, he's got stacks and stacks of scripts waiting to be brought to life.
So he's the prince of movie writing.
Wow.
It, not us.
Okay. And I meant that in quantity.
Okay. Right. Volume. Right. Not in content.
I'm done.
Hey everyone, it's your girl Jane Jones, and you are listening to Doug Sims Live. Welcome back, guys. We are going to be talking about A little gift giving. Uncle Shay Shay and Chad Ocho Cinco on their nightcap show. We're talking about taking gifts back after the breakup.
Millie, man, what you think about that?
Is that standard procedure?
Is that even standard operating?
Well, for me, if I give it to you, I don't want it because it's tainted.
Ooh,
that's some hard work.
Okay, so the clip was they were talking about a $15,000-$20,000 Chanel bag. So if you drop in cash like that,
if I can spend that much money on a woman, right?
On a bag, just to be specific.
I don't care. I can get it back.
Wait,
it's tainted. I don't want it. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to smell it. Okay. Get it out of here.
But if she took it, if she said, "Well, take your little funky bag," would you take it?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, no. But I got a question. Are you gonna re-gift it?
Ooh.
Huh?
He said, "Don't pre-incriminate me."
Look, I can't give all my secrets. Y'all tried to.
We trying to expose him out here.
Okay. Yeah.
No, really. Like, if it's a $15,000 gift, I'm asking for it back.
Really?
I'm asking for it back because you're not about to be okay. Like, if I gift you a car, you're not about to be driving with everybody around in the car that I bought you.
Is there a time limit on that? I mean, after a year, are you going to ask for it back? Let's not say the car, but let's say the bag. 15,000, 15 G's. That's a car. But after a year.
After being broken up?
No. If you were together a year after you got the gift and then you broke up.
No, I'm taking it back.
You're still taking it back?
Still taking it.
Okay. Run to the left, to the left, to the left.
Run me my stuff. I mean, they did talk about it, and they said that, you know, like, I don't want to see you wearing that Chanel bag with your new little boyfriend and
so
taking all these pictures.
So it's not that it's the bag. It's that he still has it and is using it for something other than you.
Yeah, than being around me.
That would be... For the most part, a difference.
Okay. Yeah.
For the most part. Mm-hmm. For the most part.
I don't think so. Because if I, like you said, if I can afford to buy it and we're in that tax bracket of gift giving, keep a little bag.
Thank you.
Then your new boo knows that that was me.
Because my scent is all over.
Your scent?
My scent? My dollars are on that.
Wait,
and
so
guess who's still carrying it around in front of you from something I gave?
Right.
So y'all just marking your territory?
A little bit.
Is that what we do?
Look,
is that what we do?
I'm a little bit of a jealous lover.
All right, so we're talking about gift giving and snatching it back upon the breakup, right?
Yep.
What does that look like?
What do you mean?
You break up and you're like, okay, by the way, I'm going to need you to return X, Y, and Z. I'm going to have a prepaid postage envelope for you, and then you bring it to my new page. Like,
nah.
What type of breakup
are you grabbing it? You mean?
Yeah, I need you to bring that back.
I don't think men would. I don't think.
Right. That's not what I'm saying.
I don't think the average man would do that. Now, engagement ring? Oh, I need that back.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I need that back.
Yeah, that rock got to come on.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else?
That rock
got
to come. Now
maybe a car.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
I forgot about the rock.
Like, maybe a car. But here's the deal. If I buy the car and put it in your name, then I can't get it back.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but majority of the time, if you're smart, you'll have it in your name.
But if it's in my name, then it's mine till I want it back.
Further notice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, if it's in your name, then I can't get it back because legally she has the power.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Repo.
There.
Yeah. But
right.
I don't think I would take anything
right.
back.
I wouldn't.
There are the cases where people are overextending themselves to buy these things for the significant
other.
And they might need them back.
Right.
Okay, now that's a twist. She done hit it from, all right, would you take it back to,
What if you had to work, a lot of overtime for that? You might
exactly
have really been investing in that love, and when it didn't work out, that I understand taking it back.
But do you think the average person would give the gift back?
No.
No.
I think there's a lot of people that'll fight it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or destroy it.
Or destroy it.
They'll give it back, but not how it used to be.
Yeah.
Petty. How many times do you see that the engagement rings aren't returned? Women will fight for that.
And I don't understand.
I don't understand.
I don't understand either.
Because it symbolizes the man.
And the promise to get married.
And the promise to get married.
So right. Every time you look at this ring, like, Jeffrey. You know what I mean? Or...
Well, I think that just shows the motives of the marriage in the first place. She was saying, diamonds, BBSs. And that's all that mattered.
That's probably so what his name stands for.
That just reminds me of BMF, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I'm going there.
Okay. Go
there. So, what's the crazy dude name on BMF? I can't remember his name, right? But anyway, he's crazy. And his ex-girlfriend that he has a daughter by, right?
Yep.
He's trying to get back in good with her, right?
Yep.
So he bought her a wedding ring. And she said, I'm not ready. But she was trying to get rid of him, right?
Exactly.
She's trying to take him out the box.
Right. Oh.
But she took the ring anyway. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, why would you take the ring or an expensive gift when you know you don't want to deal with that person?
Well, her context is money.
Anyway, mm-hmm. It's the pressure?
It's the pressure. It's the fantasy.
What kind of pressure?
Right, you see, look, everybody's
you know
looking at you
got?
Right
wait
now.
Wait a minute.
Oh, my
you know
goodness.
How much pressure we have to get married as a woman?
This is...
Hold on. So we're talking about gift giving, giving it back, taking it back. Now we're talking about pressure.
For marriage, Metro.
I need to hear that pressure. Let me hear. Give me a little insight.
Okay, first, like the familiar.
So let me say this.
Yeah.
Do you have a chest at the? did you have a chest at the end of the bed where your parents threw stuff in there, so that when that time comes, you have something old, something blue, something.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's where the pressure comes
in.
My ear keeps falling out because the back won't stay on. Don't judge me.
Did it come from Sheen?
No, there was a lot of pressure from family to be like, hey, when are you going to get married? You know,
right.
After you turn 18 and you've been with this person and all of a sudden, like, here we are. Like, when are you guys going to get married? Just like, when are you going to have kids? There's always pressure from your family, for me, at least, and how I grew up. So...
Yeah, this is crazy, man. All this from Club Shay Shay.
Yeah. All of this. But it's good, though. I mean,
you guys
I can't
that
say
pressure?
That I understand the pressure, but I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So yeah.
But my question is, who get the benefits and in the marriage?
Oh, man, you about to go somewhere.
All right.
Yeah, you taking it somewhere.
You going somewhere else.
We already kicked in the door.
Right, yeah, we did. Hey, we did kick in the door.
Well, so in talking about gift giving.
Right.
Or receiving. Where what pressures in marriage do you have?
Right, because that's a, is that a gift?
Yeah, do you have to keep it up?
Oh man,
What's your experience?
Well, with my experience. Ooh,
experiment might have been the right
you
word.
Lord. Well,
if
you really think about it, now we get technical.
Don't do it.
But no, it's a great partnership if you have a partner, you
right.
know what I'm saying? That's the key.
Oh yeah.
But you don't have there's not a lot of people with that type of mindset that's going into a relationship. So it really depends on the person. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like each his own. Like opposites do attract. I'd be surprised when I be hearing about, oh, you lasted 20 years? How?
Right.
but for me it's every day I take it gently. You know, I'm not a really try to be too aggressive as I am, but it's like we're the opposite. Since I'm the aggressor, she's the passive.
Mm-hmm.
So we balance each other out. She'll tell me, hey, you, yeah, come back, bring back the claws and the teeth and stuff right now. It's cool. But then I have to tell her, like, you got to step up because
uh-huh.
everybody be running over you.
Ooh.
So it's a balance.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
It's a balance.
Okay.
That was good, wasn't it?
You don't feel any societal or familial pressure from your family to be married?
Oh, from my family, no. Societal wise, I mean, of course, I think that's just the picture that's painted of America. I mean, it's a lot looser now. However, I mean, because people be stacking baby daddies, baby mamas, like they collecting Thanos,
racks on,
they're
racks
collecting
on, racks.
Thanos rings.
That's wow.
I'm so done.
So,
not Thanos rings.
So we're talking about the pressures, yes, I definitely think the pressures still exist to, especially I have kids already.
Right,
so
right,
there's
right.
the expectation that I was at least married once or twice.
Mm, yep.
And that hasn't that. Happened yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's the stigma there. And
it is.
I feel like it's more on a woman than a man.
Yeah. So that's where I get it from. Mm-hmm. That's where I feel the pressure. As a woman, they're like, oh, you have a child? You're not married? Well, there comes the judgmental.
So that's the pressure. Right. So you're saying that the pressure is not on the man in the relationship, but on the woman?
So before the break, we were talking about the pressures of being married. Is it more so on the woman or is it more so on the man? And my man Melly Mel had comments going on.
Man, mm-hmm. So I just stated that I feel like the pressure is more on the man. You know, that's all I'm going. I'm just saying, because I feel like men, we lose more in a marriage. If you see the statistics of what is going on today in marriage, mm-hmm. 80% of divorces are through women. So it's like, you control my child. If I have kids, I have to give you half of everything. And when you don't work for it, if you have worked for it, I still have to give half of that my child, and I gotta pay you child support for a kid that I just gave you half of my life to. Where's the win on? I'm just saying.
So you're saying that there's more pressure for marriage, or just pressure to
it's
keep
both.
A marriage?
It's both. It's all the above. It's like, I want to marry this woman, so I'm pressured to, you know, I gotta listen. I want to listen to my feelings as a man, so I'm pressured to marry this woman. Then when we have children, if we get into it, let's say, oh, she doesn't love me no more. Now the pressure is even more on, because now I got to cater to this woman's attitude to see my kid. I got to cater to you to make sure I keep my money. And so I'm just, it's like playing catch up.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So the pressure is constantly coming on to the man. If you have a woman like that. I hope you don't have a woman.
Right.
Like that,
but, right. Stakes sound high.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, how much of that accountability is on you? Because of the relationship, who you chose to be in a relationship Ooh. With and who you chose to marry, mm-hmm. right?
That
was a choice that you made, and it was your responsibility
she
as the counterpart, as it was you as the partner in this to learn who you married and who you are about to have a child with.
And what your role is in that marriage, especially if you are taking on the provider role. But when I want to go back to the original pressure, the pressure to get married.
Yes.
Who does that come from for a man?
I'm sorry.
Is it the woman giving you put on the pressure, like, I'm going to leave if you don't marry me, or familiar pressure saying you need to marry this woman?
From what I see from my readings and whatnot, it's more the woman wants to be married. Mm-hmm. Because nowadays, baggage is baggage. Whether it's a child, and then you got to figure out, not just for her, but for him as well. Like, have kids on the back end, baby mama drama. For you, baby daddy drama, ex-husband, you know, all that comes with that territory, with that person.
So I'm no counselor, right?
Yeah.
Preach to us.
But I think that if you really sit down, both parties,
yeah.
and really dig deep into the background of the person, and I'm talking health-wise, financials,
oh, yeah.
you know, all those things should be discussed. Beforehand, even if you got a thug ex boyfriend, no, I'm saying that for real,
yeah,
because
yeah.
if she has a cutthroat kind of guy, ex kind of guy,
yeah.
and they have kids, and the child says something out of place, and you being the new person,
right,
and you discipline that child tells that dad, you got a problem with the ex,
a whole nother thing.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's a whole lot of dynamics, and it goes both ways.
Oh yeah, both ways.
It goes both ways, but you have to look at those dynamics as well. If you want to entertain
marriage,
yeah,
you know, because all of that is going to come with it.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
That goes down to the parents, both sides, the family. it's just a whole dynamic that needs to be researched. and talked about.
Yeah, I mean,
and you have to be engaged into that whole family dynamic of what you're about to enter into.
Yeah.
But then you gotta really think if you like that person for real.
Right. Because you're investing pressure
or not, you should still be going through the vetting process.
Yeah. So pressure or not, like my personal situation. So my husband and I have been together. It will be 16 years this year.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. And we've been married for 6. So it took us a while before he said, hey, let's get married. But I was putting pressure on him to say, like, hey, we've been together for 5 years. Why am I not valued or looked at by you to be your wife? And it made me feel a certain type of way. Like, why don't you see me in that light? Why do I have to continue to be girlfriend status?
Ooh.
Now, were you transferring pressure that was put onto you to be like, y'all have been together for that long?
I like energy that. Trap.
Yeah. So, that's where it was. So, like, we broke up for a year because it was the most mature breakup I've ever had. And it hurt like hell. Literally.
Right, yeah.
Because he was just like, I'm not ready to give you what you want. And that's marriage. He's like, I'm just not in there.
So we're talking about marriage, man. Relationship. How did we get there, number one? I have no idea.
So Uncle Shay Shay, Shannon Sharp, man, congratulations to him as well, the iHeartRadio award. But he started it. That's how the conversation
started. That's how it started.
Gift giving, and then we got into marital.
So now we're into the pressure, and Jane is telling us about her experience.
Yeah. So we broke up and we took that time to figure out if in fact we wanted to get back together and really go invest in each other even more and then get married. Even after us getting back together, it took 5 years after that. And he didn't know this, but
secret time.
I did put him on a timeline because I was like, I'm not going to keep investing in you and you're not going to reciprocate. So,
wow.
Yeah.
If you like it.
Was I right?
Should have put a ring on it.
Exactly. There's that.
But you know what? I'm glad you said that because I am sick of these songs. Hype up the women, right?
they're reinforcing that pressure that is put on a woman to seek out that ring
but
and get married.
Are you wife material?
Oh, that's a whole
that
other
goes
that's
back
a whole
to,
bag.
Now that goes back to what Jane was saying.
Right. Yeah, that's
yeah.
I mean, that's are you husband material?
Yeah,
you know, the pressure is on us too. Like,
yeah, and he had to reevaluate who he was as a person, and that's why he had to step away from our relationship. So, like,
sound
when
like
I
a
say,
Donnell Jones song to me.
Ooh, where I wanna be.
That's true.
Oh, man.
It's true, though. So we stepped away. We came back together, and I did. I put him on a timeline. And I was like, okay, if I don't have a ring by, you know, this said date, then we're just going to have to part ways.
All right.
So we were talking about music and what's the latest song that we're vibing to. So I know my man Mel has some new joints that vibing to or getting ready to vibe to. Who you got?
Well, I'm getting ready to vibe to Rhapsody Recruits, Lil Wayne, Erykah Badu, and more for a new album, Please Don't Cry.
Ooh, I'm ready.
That's going to be dope, man.
You said Rhapsody.
Rhapsody.
Rhapsody, the
female rapper.
The female rapper, right.
Yeah.
That's going to be good.
Erykah
Badu
and Wayne.
Well, it says on the same that Rhapsody is making her long-awaited return in 2024 with her first album in 5 years. 5 years.
It's been 5 years?
5 years. Mm. The North Carolina native announced the new project on Thursday, March 14th, while also sharing its release date, tracklist, and cover art. May 17th, Please Don't Cry, my fourth studio album, she wrote on Instagram.
Yeah, you know, for artists, that has to really be a love. You really have to love your art and your music, because it takes so long.
It takes a while.
Right.
To put it together. You know, it takes a very long time to get it the way you really want to get it. Yeah. You know,
I agree.
That's the beauty of the true artistry, because it's not something that's just thrown out there for
manufactured.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. It is a full body of work.
On it.
Yeah. It's not mass manufactured.
Right.
And just thrown out there.
And you know, and for me, when I do stuff, I don't care if one person likes it, that's great. If a million people like it, that's great as well.
Yeah.
But I try to do what I like to do, no matter what the public opinion is. You know what I mean? It's just, it's what I do. So when my rap CD comes out, I'm going to need y'all to pick that up.
We'll do a review.
Oh, man.
We want DJ features, too.
Metro.
I'm going to need y'all to pick that bad boy.
Man, wait, how much? Because you, I haven't seen the
CD. He said, how much?
I haven't seen the CD forever.
Well, you know, I'm old school.
He passing out CDs
at the club.
Nobody, he ain't upload, download, streaming.
I'm old school, so I'm gonna put a video out too, right? So I'm gonna break the turntables back out.
Wow.
Put the video.
I think that'll go viral too.
Yeah, it should.
That would go viral.
DJ with
Jay,
a gray beard.
Be a video girl.
Right. Yeah,
video, bring back the video
old
Vixen.
School, old school. And just vibing.
Right. Hot, lights all over.
With my baby fat.
With the baby fat, right? So the first, I'm going to jump it off, right, to get the party started. On the smooth tip, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to jump it off with a little Tank. You know, Tank released the new single, Before We Get Started, featuring Fabulous. Now, you know, Fabulous has become the king. I won't say the king of the hooks, but he has become the king when it comes to rapping on other people's
feature king.
Oh man, you know,
so he's
especially
like,
with R&B artists.
Yes, definitely. So he's like the Nate Dogg of
prolific right there.
Prolific.
He
got bars.
R.I.P. Nate Dogg.
So yeah, so make sure you guys check out the Tank, because I'm going, as soon as it drops, I'm getting it.
Ooh,
so yeah. I'm getting that bad boy. It's a smooth song. I like Tank, you know, seen him live, like his show. But he puts out some really good music.
He does.
You know, it's cool. Art. It's real cool, you know. I mean, he can sing, he can play the keyboard, piano, flex a muscle
performer,
here and there for the ladies, you know.
He's definitely performing
like
with his shirt off.
So,
but he also has his podcast.
He does.
Yeah,
yes.
He does.
And it's
I forgot about that.
I love that, because I love hearing like who are you know the other artists. They're like top five. I think they do like ask them who their top five is.
Right.
Oh wow.
R&B.
Right.
So I love hearing
all
that.
Of all time. Oh yeah. So I got a top five.
Okay.
Here you go. You want to hear?
Let's go.
Top five rapper, right? My number one, who gives a hoot about stats, right?
Yep.
Heavy D, hands down.
Heavy D, hands down.
Yeah, you did tell us that.
Yeah.
You did tell us
that. Number one producer, hands down. Teddy Riley, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
Number one artist, hands down. The purple one. The Royal Badness.
We knew he was making a list.
Prince.
We knew that was coming.
That was a strong purple one.
Hey, now, so
that was a strong statement.
Now, soft rock.
Oh.
Oh, you got a soft rock?
Okay.
Ambrosia.
Wow. Oh.
All day.
Okay.
We're there on that one.
Yeah, we're there.
Ambrosia all day.
About to bust out my video.
That's your list.
Now, the fifth one, you know, it's a toss-up between whatever you throw at me, I'll come up with something.
Okay.
So you throw something at me, I got a top one for you.
Singer. Female.
Okay. Top singer female would probably be I'm just gonna say off the top of my head, I'll say Lettucey, right?
Okay.
I'll go with her.
I can see that.
Yeah, I'll go with her.
Ooh.
That was a good pick.
That was a good pick.
I didn't
saw her concert.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we saw her concert.
So that's my top five.